Amen. Will you turn with me to the first chapter of John's Gospel tonight? I just want to take simply the great old message of the Gospel and share it with you. I trust as clearly and as correctly as the Holy Spirit can help me this evening. John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was the light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even unto them that believe in his name, which were born not of blood, or it should be plural, bloods, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Amen. I'm sure God will bless to us the reading of his own precious Word. Let us pray. Father, we pray you'll take up your Word this evening and use it for your glory, that we may be blessed and strengthened as we contemplate and consider the work of the Lord here and the proclamation of the great message of the Gospel of Jesus Christ. So, Lord, we thank you for it. Tonight, touch some heart. Lord, tonight, encourage some heart. Lord, lift some spirit. Maybe someone tonight, Lord, is here and is totally disinterested. Lord, by the power of your Spirit, get their interest. And, O Father, save their soul. We commend it to you now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, it's a great joy to be back with you in the preaching of the Gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, I love that so much. I spent so many years crisscrossing North America and the Europe preaching the Gospel of Jesus Christ and this wonderful message. But I'm quite thrilled that coming up, when we go back, we'll be home 2 weeks, and we're going to have some folks from Liverpool, England, to come and stay with us. And the young man and his wife who's coming with their mother-in-law is a young man who one night at one of our crusades in Liverpool, England, came and gave his heart to Jesus Christ. Wonderful trophy of grace. He's now a policeman in that city. But he discovered the power of Jesus Christ. Is there a power? Is there a real message? Is there something for you tonight? Indeed, there is. And I want to talk to you in the very simple, basic terms of what it means to be born into the family of God. What it means to be born into the family of God and to know what it is to have a relationship with God. Someone immediately said, but surely we're all the children of God already. Well, in a creatorial sense we are, because we've been created by God. But in a very personal and intimate and family sense, we're not. Because between us and God, there is a disease that has separated us so much from God that he couldn't hear us even. The Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, that word iniquity comes out of the thought of sin, and sin is what separates us from God. And so we discover that in humanity, all had sinned and come short of the glory and the standard of God, and because of that, there was a broken relationship. It is Paul writing to the Corinthians who said, if any man is in Jesus Christ, he is a new creature. The old things have passed away, and all things become new. Why? Because there's a need for reconciliation. You say, why do you preach? I preach because God has given unto us the ministry of reconciliation. And when someone comes down and receives Jesus Christ as Savior, what is happening is so gloriously wonderful, so glorious supernatural. It is man with a broken relationship coming into a glorious relationship with Almighty God. It is a reconciliation between a sinner and his God, and the relationship that is broken is brought together. I remember a lady saying to me some years ago about a physical relationship with her sister. She hadn't spoken to her for many years, and then suddenly she had a bad heart attack, and they got back together. And one of the things that they wept about was this. They wept about the fact that they had wasted so much time in this nonsense of not talking to each other and the separation of not talking to each other. Wasted so much time. And as we begin to look at this, my friend, tonight, God is showing us in the Scripture that we have wasted a tremendous amount of time in being separated from God. I'm amazed as I talk with young people and young men in their 20s and young couples in their 20s today, how many are struggling for an answer, but when you present the answer, my dear friend, are wasting their time and they keep on going struggling and struggling and struggling. Do you know where you're going? Do you know what's happening in life? Do you know if you have a relationship with God? Well, my dear friend, God wants you to know that. How do we know that we have a relationship with God? How do we know that we can become the children of God? How can we become the children of God? Well, we discover it is very, very real and brought to us very clearly in our passage that we have before us tonight. It's brought to us in this process, is showing to us that it's nothing to do with man. This is what John says in verse 13, which were born. So first of all, we discovered that Christians, they just don't happen. They're born. They're born again. If you go over to the third chapter, we discover this man Nicodemus talking with Jesus, and he says a very startling thing to him. He said, except a man be born again, except he has the spiritual revolution, except he has the experience of God coming down on the basis of Jesus Christ's removal of sin from his life. If he doesn't have that experience, my friend, except he's born again of the Spirit, transformed by the power of the Spirit of God, he can never see the kingdom of heaven. It is an experience that has to come from God. And there are some negatives given to us here. There are three negatives, in fact, given to us here, which were born. Then he goes on and he makes it very clear in verse 13. If you have a Bible, you'll notice it's not of bloods, not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man, but of God. Three things, he says, this is how you cannot become a Christian. You say, I'm destined to become a Christian, and here's a fellow telling me how I can't become a Christian. Well, let's look at number one very briefly. We discover number one, he said, not of blood. This means that the birth spoken of here is not the result of human generation. How many of you have had a wonderful gospel background? How many of you? You've been born in this island. You've been brought up in this island. You've been taught the Scriptures. You've heard the voice of God. Whether it was years ago or in recent years, I was with you when that act of God happened in this island. And you've heard the voice of God. Do you know what you've done about it? Do you know what you've done? Have you moved one inch towards God? And you say, no, I haven't. You know why, my friend? Because you either move towards God or you move away from God. You never stand still. In human relationships with God, you'd never stand still. I was preaching one time up the east coast of Scotland in a little fishing village, a fishing town called Fraserburgh. I substituted for a friend of mine who was doing a crusade there, and he was a school teacher and had to go back and teach. And he said, John, would you come and do three nights for me, and I'll come back and do the conclusion. And I said, certainly. And I was preaching among these fishermen whom I loved dearly, and I knew of them. One of the men who got saved, not under my ministry, but had come the last night to the crusade when my friend was preaching, was what we call the coxswain of the lifeboat. Maybe as you know, that the British Lifeboat Association is a voluntary association that when the storms are wild in the North Sea, they launch their ship and they head out to help. And it's a voluntary organization. These men don't get paid for it. And they go into the wilds of the North Sea that they might rescue men. And they've done it. And some have been lost in themselves. There was a great tragedy in Fraserburgh when the Fraserburgh lifeboat was lost. And it was lost at the mouth of the harbor. Can you imagine standing at your harbor and seeing the channel and the waves coming and your loved ones coming home and the mightiness of the sea being such that they were lost before your eyes. Within a few hundred yards, and you couldn't reach out and touch them. And some of these great brave men were lost. But there was one man who is now the coxswain of the lifeboat, and he told how he got saved. And he said God had spoken to him in a very real way on many occasions. His father had was a wonderful Christian and a praying man. He had gone to all the services. He knew all the hymns. You might know them today. He could quote the Bible text. You know what, my friend? He didn't have God in his life. And he went fishing with his father and his brother. And on two occasions, he said, God spoke so clearly to him. He says, yes, yea, God speaks once and one and twice, but man perceiveth not. God is speaking. You know the problem? We don't listen. And they were fishing off Cape Roth, which is on the north part of Scotland, in what is known as the Pentland Firth, and it's one of the worst. It is one of the worst pieces of water because it's where the tides of the North Sea meet the tides of the Atlantic, and it's a very wild piece of water. And it was a very wild night, and a storm came up on them, and they lost their rudder. And here they were being tossed around in this, and another friend of mine who became an evangelist, Jackie Ritchie, his boat was not far away, and he tried to throw a line onto them. And every line they threw onto them, because of the wildness of the night, the rope would break. And they finally called out the lifeboat from Wick, further along the coast, to come out, but he said, we thought it was all over. He said, I went downstairs, I went under into the sleeping quarters in the boat. And there he says, was my father on his knees. And he said, I said to my father, Dad, you better come upstairs. It's all over. And he says, my father never came up yet. But he said he was still on his knees there. But finally the lifeboat came and rescued them. And he said, my father, I'm sure, was down there praying for the sons who had heard the gospel, who had sung the hymns, who had learned the Bible text, but I never got saved. Never trusted Christ. Never faced the reality of knowing God. Never faced the reality of doing business with the Almighty and the privilege of knowing the transforming power of God coursing through his veins. He said another occasion, one of these hawsers, these wire ropes, broke and came over and cut him, and he said, I was lying there on the deck, and I thought I was dead. Another occasion, he almost drowned, and he said continually as he gave his testimony, God speaks once, God speaks twice, but man perceiveth not. And he said one night when he came to crusade, he went home. He couldn't go to his bed at night. In fact, he got back and came back to the place where the crusade was conducted, hoping that there were men and women there he could talk to about his soul. But there was no one there. But over that weekend, he realized that when God speaks, although he didn't hear the first time, on the second time, but he said, I heard him the third time, and I received Christ. How many times has God spoken to you, my friend? How many times have you seen the seriousness of it all? How many times have you been confronted with the challenge of receiving Jesus Christ as your Savior? Let me tell you this, my friend. Here was a man whose father was a godly man. In the midst of his storm, what was he doing? My friend, he was on his knees praying for his sons. His confidence was in God. His trust was in God. He was on his knees praying for his sons. You would say, any man that would do that in the middle of a storm, any man who could pray in the middle of a storm, anyone who could be stayed upon Jehovah in such a way, his family's bound to be saved. But I want to tell you this, my friend, that Christian production is not connected to human production, and therefore it is not your heritage that will save you tonight. You know, my friend, I think there'll be a greater judgment on Spanish Wells than there will be in some of the heathen cities of America. I really believe that. Because I don't think there are many people in Spanish Wells, even the people who don't come, who won't at some time or other had a brush with the gospel. Maybe as a little child. Maybe as a hymn in one of these three evangelical churches on this island. God has spoken once. And God has spoken twice, and man perceiveth not. Let me tell you this, you're not born again into the family of God on the basis of human heritage. It's not of your
your great ancestry. It's not the fact that this is basically as near an evangelical island as you can get. Very seldom in any community that you will have three churches that are totally evangelical and evangelistic and gospel loving and gospel preaching, but it is here. And God is speaking. Once, twice, have you heard his voice, my dear friend? Let me tell you, you will never be saved by the heritage of this wonderful island. You will never be saved because on this small piece of sandy rock in the middle of this ocean there has walked men who have graced earth by their love for the Almighty and for their love for the things of heaven. My friend, you will not be born again because there has been on this island men who have taken this book and devoured it and loved it and read it and prayed it and preached it and heard it preached. My dear friends, I want to tell you this. It's not your heritage that will save you. You're on your own. You're on your own. And let me say this. Something else is brought out here, another negative. It is not the will of the flesh. It is no self-effort. It is no self-effort. No amount of self-determination, my dear friend, can save you tonight. No amount of decision or resolution on our part can make us members of the family of God. For it is not the will of the flesh. Supposing I wanted to be a child of the queen of royalty, oh, mind you, the way her family's been behaving, probably I wouldn't want to be a member of that family anymore. But if I wanted to become a member of the family, of the queen's family, my friend, I can't. I'm a commoner. My friend, and I could never will myself into that family. The only way you could come into that family is the same way you came into the family you're in, and that is to be born into that family. My dear friend, God is a family. And it's not by any self-effort or determination that we're brought into it, but it's by the producing of a spiritual birth where God comes into the life of the soul of man, and I'm born by his Spirit. And we can sing with Julian and Elsa, I have discovered the way of gladness. I've discovered the way of joy. I've got a happiness without alloy. Why? Because I personally and individually, without self-determination, have surrendered to Jesus Christ, and I've said, Lord, you're the only way. You believe he's the only way because he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There is no other way. I am the only way. I am the only way to God. Noah built the ark. What a beautiful picture of salvation. Noah built the ark, and somebody says, well, I'm going to get to God my way, my dear friend. There is no other way but through Jesus Christ. It was the old Irish preacher when I was first saved that I heard tell the story of Noah building the ark. He brought the animals in, and the eagle came from the height of the trees in the jungle. And the animals came from the darkness of the jungle, and they all came from their different directions. But they all had to come in through the door. Let me tell you, the safety was in the ark. The only way was in was through the door. And I'll never forget him saying this so clearly, so poignantly, so powerfully. There are many roads that lead to God, there are many roads that lead to Christ, but only Christ leads to God. You miss Christ. You miss heaven. You miss Christ, you miss salvation, you miss Christ, my friend, for Jesus saves and he is the only Savior of mankind. The early apostles, unafraid, stood before the intellectuals of this day and they said, listen, there is no other name. By what power have you done this? When the man got healed at the beautiful gate and he got legs and he got transformed. By what power, by what name, by what authority have you done this? Oh, he said, there's no other name given among men. But why? We must be saved. It's the name of Jesus. It's the name of Jesus. His name means Savior. His name means Savior. He came, my friend, to save. He came. He shall save his people from the sins. My dear friend, I want to tell you that Jesus Christ, no matter how old you are, no matter how young you are, is in the business of saving men and women. Can I ask you an old-fashioned question in a very modern world? My friend, can I ask you what the old preachers used to ask? Are you saved? Now, that's a clear question. Why don't you give God a clear answer? Are you saved? It either is, amen, hallelujah, or you hang your head, my friend, knowing that if you die tonight without Christ, there is no hope. That's what the Scripture says, without Christ, there is no hope. My dear friends, let me tell you, when you drive down the highway, there are several signs that you meet. There are signs that point you direction to the way, but there's also the signs that warn you that ahead there's going to be an accident. There's a flashing signs, and there's signs that warn you that there's no road through. My dear friend, that God has anointed his servants to point to direction and also to warn men and women there's a need to receive Christ. It's not of the will of flesh. Isn't it disappointing to some of us that we cannot work our way to heaven? Oh, how we'd love to be there. Not of works. Would you like to work your way to heaven? My friend, let me ask you this question. Would you honestly like to be in heaven with someone who worked their way to heaven? I mean, it's bad enough living with them on earth, isn't it? I met a woman one day, in fact, I stayed for 8 weeks in her backyard in Scotland. You don't know her, so I can tell you about it. And if you meet her, don't tell her I said it. But I'll never forget it. First Sunday home from the Lord's table, she looked at me and she said, did you see the communion cups today? Well, you know, my friend, when I go to church, I go to see Jesus. I don't know what you come for. Some folk come to fight, do you know that? Some folk come to criticize, others come to agonize. But my friend, we come to see the Lord. Amen. And you know, there we were. I came and she said, did you see the communion cups and the lovely silver plate? It's real silver that the bread was on. And I said, well, not really, ma'am, but I think I did. I must have because they passed by. She says, well, I want to tell you this. I never forgot this. She says, I gave that anonymously to the church. That was good, wasn't it? I gave that anonymously to the church. Boy, I was glad that she had to get saved by the blood, because if she was in heaven, I would hate to meet her on the golden street. She got there for giving anything to the Lord's work or to the church, my friend, I want to tell you. I just wouldn't want to live next door to her in heaven because, hey, you know why I'm here? I gave the church the solid silver communion set. That's where I am there. I was preaching in another church that said to me, boy, you wouldn't get away with that if Mrs. So-and-so was here. I said, wouldn't get away with what? Starting the service 5 minutes early. I said, oh, why? Well, she gave the organ in memory of her husband. Well, maybe it's the way I was brought up. I would have said to a man, take your organ and go out the door and we'll start the singing without you. My dear friend, do you think we can get into heaven by what we do or give? My friend, you give a gift to the Lord, it's the Lord's. It's no longer your organ. You take that dollar bill out your pocket and you put in the offering. That is not your dollar bill, that's God's. The moment the money leaves your wallet and goes into the offering, it does not belong to you. It's God's and you didn't buy anything with it. You give it for the glory of God. And you haven't bought any salvation, and you haven't bought any peace with God. What you've done, you've been obedient to God. You've given Him part of what He has given you. Oh, we like to buy our way, wouldn't we? But I'll tell you, heaven would be heaven if we had a load of folks up there that could buy their way. Isn't that right? My, I wouldn't like to be with them up there if they could buy their way into glory.
my friend, it would turn heaven into hell. But thank God it doesn't say that. And Rutherford picked up Samuel Rutherford, the great Scottish preacher, picked up the real theme of it when he said this: the Lamb is all the glory in Emmanuel's land. My, when they get to heaven, we're going to glorify God. Why? Because it wasn't my heritage that took me here. It wasn't the God-fearing men who lived on that island that took me to heaven. My, it wasn't my own self-determination. It was the Lamb of God who put away the sin of the world. My Savior, Jesus Christ, He died for me. I trusted Him. I believed, and I am saved by the grace of God. Excuse me, but hallelujah, I'm getting excited. Pity we've only got 10 minutes left. You see, this is a wonderful message, my dear friends. It's a message of God changing people by the power of His Spirit. It's nothing to do with my heritage. My heritage goes back to Scottish Covenanters who on the hillsides broke bread in the open air with guards looking around for the English coming to shoot them while they were breaking bread. It's unbelievable, isn't it? I could say, my, if anyone's going to be heaven, it's going to be John Clunas because of his background right down there. But my friend, I stood in that street corner on the 1st of May, 1958, and I was as lost and bound for hell at 18 as any without Christ in us. And I had to discover it wasn't my heritage. And it wasn't what I could do because, my friend, at that time I wasn't even doing anything for God. I wasn't interested. But I had to discover that it was all of Christ. He was the way, the truth, and the life. Not of the will of the flesh. Not of the will of men. You see, no man can make anyone a child of God. Good men and women can do great things and help us. How wonderful it is to have Christian parents and friends who care about our spiritual welfare. But the most saintly, godly man or woman in this community cannot produce a spiritual rebirth within the heart and life of any one person. Only God can do that. This is what he said. This is not your heritage. You can't get saved by that. Redemption doesn't run in the veins, you know. It's not your heritage. It's not your self-attempts. And it's not men who can make Christians. But what does it say? But of God. You see, my dear friend, Christianity is the supernatural act of God working within the hearts of men and women. Simply, how do we get it? It's very simple. If you go back to the verses we have here in verse 12. But as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God, even unto them that believe on His name. But to as many as receive Him. The first thing you've got to do is receive. Simple. First thing you've got to do is receive Him. You receive Him on the basis of this fact that you need Him. If you don't know you need Him, you won't go for Him. You won't receive Him. You won't trust Him. You won't ask Him into your life. But I want to tell you this, my friend, you've got to realize you need Him. In other words, you've got to let the Spirit of God work in your heart tonight in such a way that you suddenly waken up to the fact that that heart is deceitful and desperately wicked, and who can know it? And that heart is so sinful that, my friend, if you died right now, you'd be in hell. It's as simple as that. If you died right now, you'd not see heaven. And my dear friend, the Spirit of God says, I want you to receive Jesus. Why? Because He's the only one who can remove that sin from your heart, because Christ died for our sins. My friend John Moore, who wrote Burdens and Lifted at Calvary, tells a story of how he wrote it, of how he saw the seaman who fell down the hold and hurt himself and was dying in a Glasgow hospital. He got a call to go and visit him. And taking there, he said, I looked into my bag, and there in my little bag I had a little tract of
about Pilgrim's Progress, of Pilgrim going up the hill to Calvary and his burden on his back, and he lifts up his eyes and he sees the cross. And the illustrator and the cartoon in the front had drawn on the picture the bands bursting that were holding his burden to his back and rolling down and going away. He tells a young man who's lying in his bed in his 20s, nearing death. He tells him that God loves him and Christ died to save him, and that if he'd only come to him, Christ would take his burden away. And John said, "Let's pray." My dear friend, John began to pray with this man. And as he began to pray with this man opened his heart and received Christ into his life. And John says, "When I opened his heart, my eyes, I saw in that man's eyes a light that wasn't there before." You see, Jesus is not only the way, he's the light of the world. He goes in where darkness is, but darkness can't stay where he is. So darkness moves out and light goes in. And when he comes into a darkened heart of sin, my friend, he cleanses it and puts in there the light of life. And my friends, he went home and penned the words, "Days are filled with sorrow and care. Hearts are lonely and drear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near." Troubled soul, the Savior can see every heartache and tear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. A young lady came to one of our crusades in Liverpool. She was the sister-in-law of this young man that got saved. She was hardened. They had been in business. They had everything they needed in this world. Suddenly the business fell apart. Then the marriage fell apart. And her husband left her for another woman. And they finally got divorced. And she was a hard, bitter woman. She was coming to the tent that night, and I remember after I led her to the Lord, she told me the story. She passed one of these movie houses on the way, the film that was showing that night, believe it or not, was this, "Heaven Can Wait." That's what the devil tells you. He tells you heaven can wait. It can't. It can't, my friend, because no one knows when we'll be knocking at the threshold of the door of eternity. We're there right now. We're there right now. And she came into the service, and I remember that night I gave out the hymn, that lovely hymn, "Dear Savior, Thou art mine, how sweet the thought to me, let me repeat it all." The chorus, "Mine, mine, mine." And we came to that third verse. My heart and heart was touched when thy sweet message came, the message of life, the message of freedom, the message of liberty. And several had come forward to get saved, and the God was really burdening me that night. And I said, "Oh, folks, let's sing that verse again tonight. I believe God is touching a heart in a special way." And I'll never forget it. We just began singing, "My heart was touched when thy sweet message came." And halfway up the crusade tent, it was a 1,000-seater tent, we used to pack it, and this lady stepped into the aisle. It's amazing how sometimes us preachers are faithless. I'd prayed for this girl to get saved. I'd longed for this girl to get saved. But when she stepped into the aisle to get saved, I could hardly believe. And I'm going to tell you, my friend, this is a small community where everybody knows what you've had for breakfast. I've lived in these communities. Everything knows everything about everybody else. And I'm going to tell you, my friend, there'll be people in this place tonight who'll hardly believe when you step out and get saved. But when it dawns on you who it is, and when it dawns on them, as it did on me when I finally led this girl to the Lord that night, and she's now baptized and bright and going on for God, my friends, that disbelief went into joy. And the Lord was precious. Receive him. As many as received him, to them give he power to become the sons of God. I was preaching in the University of South Clyde in Glasgow on one occasion. And while I was preaching there, I was wonderful Christians, a group of evangelical Christians who loved the Lord, and they said to me, John, you must have known I love doing crazy things. Would you come and preach in the university? I said, yeah, I'd love to. So I remember we had an hour's prayer first, and then we went over. And I thought I was preaching in a hall like this and opening my Bible and preaching. They took me to the bar where people were having lunch and buying whiskey and beer and everything all over the place. And when we got into the bar, they said to me, hey, you know where you start. You see that door over there? I said, where did I preach here? They're having lunch. Yeah, I know. I said, they know I'm going to preach to them today. They said, no. I said, they don't know that I'm going to preach to them here now. He said, no. I said, and what do I do? He said, you see that door over by the kitchen? You go over and stand at that door and you start preaching. I said, are you kidding? They said, no, we're not kidding. That's why we've been praying for an hour. I said, if I'd known that, we'd have prayed for 2 hours. And I went over to the door there, and this was in the 70s, and the hippies were there, and there they were, and I began to preach, and, you know, they started singing to drown me out. But, you know, if you wait long enough, the devil oversteps himself at one point. I just, you know, I'm maybe too dumb to quit. And I just stood there, and finally it happened. And a whole group of long-haired guys got up, and they threw some paper airplanes at me, and they went this way. And have you ever seen the way a paper airplane goes? My, I tell you, it goes like this. Like a shot. God, give it to me. And I said, hey, glad to see you guys from Glasgow Airport here tonight. Isn't it amazing that there are so many lives in this room today, just like these paper airplanes, they've got no power behind them. There was a deathly silence. And I'm telling you, sure as I'm standing here tonight before God, that stood up and gave me a standing ovation. And I said, no, I really don't want an ovation. What I would like from you is 2 minutes to tell you how you could have that power. And I took them to Romans 1:16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the dynamite. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. I said, if you'll receive Christ, you'll receive his power today. He'll make new men and women out of you. He'll give you direction, and he'll save you for time and eternity. And as I conclude, my friends, that's what I'm telling you. You need to receive him. Repent of that sin and in brokenness, come and say, Lord, save me tonight. And let him say, my time is gone. But I know where I'm going. Your time is almost gone. And you don't know where you're going. Because, my friend, if it's without Christ, it's not heaven. But if it's with Christ, it's heaven. Oh, my friends, I want to tell you, if it's heaven, there's a joy in your heart. And there's peace in your soul. You're peace with God. But as many as received him, to them give you the power to become the sons of God, even unto them that believe in his name. Will you bow your head right now? Can I challenge you young people tonight? You're drifting around. Can I challenge you older folks tonight? Do you really know that God's saved? Do you really know you're going to heaven? Do you really know you have peace with God? I want you to bow and just pray right now as we close in these words. Oh God, I realize tonight I'm a sinner. And I repent of that sin and I turn from it. And I ask you, Lord, tonight to come into my life and save. Take away my sin. Forgive it. Make me a new creature in Christ tonight, O God. Lord, save me. And make me clean with your precious blood. Lord, touch my life tonight. with every head bowed and every eye shut in this place tonight, and I know everybody knows, and I want you to shut your eye and bow your head, but I just want to give someone an opportunity to respond. If the Holy Spirit has touched your heart and you need to receive Christ tonight, I want you just to raise your hand wherever you are tonight. You see, signifying you want to get saved. Will you do that? Are you man and woman enough to do that tonight? Don't worry about anybody else, my friend. You respond. Assure your peace with God. Oh Lord, bless every heart and life now as we commend and commit them to you for Jesus' sake. I would like just to sing the first and last verse of a hymn, my friend, tonight. I had it written down, but I'll, rather than look for it, I'm quicker going to the, while our organists and pianists are coming up, I'll look for it. "790. My soul in a sad exile was out in life's sea. 790. So burdened with sin and distress, till I heard a sweet voice saying, 'Make me your choice.' And I entered the haven of rest." My friend, will you find rest in Christ tonight? We'll sing the first and last verses only. "Oh, come to the Savior. He patiently waits to save by his power divine. Come anchor your soul in the haven of rest and say, 'My beloved is mine.'" First and last verses on. Thank you. Hallelujah.